Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection together. This is episode 8, and today we'll be talking about cultivating gratitude and joy.
These are anxious and fearful times, both of which breed scarcity. We're afraid to lose what we love the most, and we hate that there are no guarantees. We think not being grateful and not feeling joyful will make it hurt less. We think that if we can beat vulnerability to the punch by imaging loss, we suffer less. Wrong. There's one guarantee. If we're not practicing gratitude and allowing ourselves to know joy, we are missing out on the things that will actually sustain us during the inevitable hard times. So one of the things that brought me joy today was looking up coronavirus jokes.
Okay. Do you have any good ones? It's like knock knock.
No. Well, I did look. So I was pretty excited when I was like, the top 40 coronavirus jokes that will for sure make you laugh. And I got to them and I was like, oh, I've seen all of these. I mean, some of them are funny.
Yeah.
But.
Was there one about like the Jehovah's Witnesses just going crazy because they know that you're hard?
Yeah. It's a meme.
You can't hide.
And it was like, you know, a guy hiding behind a tree. Like, how do I explain this image? Like, you know, rubbing his hands together, being like, hey, 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 knowing that it's like we're the Jehovah's Witnesses, knowing that everybody's home. But one of them was definitely our life. It was about eating all of your quarantine snacks in like the first day.
Yeah.
Because didn't we eat two giant bags of Costco chips in under a week?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
I don't know. Chips are the new toilet paper.
Cool. But we can eat chips. I don't know if anybody's
using I don't know if anyone's using them.
There was a joke like that. It was like, Mom, like, I don't like my snack. And she's like, shut up and eat your toilet paper. Which is not very kind. But as for our two bags of chips, I don't think we should say we should be ashamed of ourselves. Because I don't think Jesus or Brené Brown would want us to feel ashamed.
Yeah. But there might be a reality discipline that comes into effect.
Where we just get fat.
Or where, I don't know, stuff blows down and all we have is beans. We do have beans. We've got a lot of beans. We're learning how to cook them.
So how does,
and live with the consequences of that, those decisions
as
well.
Yeah, really. So, like, if we're not going to, like, shame ourselves, what is the, just, like, do we just, like, sit with our feelings of, like, having eaten those two bags of chips? And just think about it. Is that how this works?
I think so.
Oh. Because it does feel deeply uncomfortable thinking about the fact that we ate all those chips.
I guess so. And we were still learning, though, how to be in a quarantine. So we have to brace with ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Maybe eat less chips. I found I'm eating less at supper now, though. Couple days. Because I'm just like, I don't go out, so what am I supposed to do? So I'm learning how to adjust, but
I definitely did not buy chips the last time I went grocery shopping on purpose.
That's smart. Every person she interviewed described living a joyful life, actively practiced. Sorry, every person she interviewed described living a joyful life, actively practiced gratitude, and attributed their joyfulness to their gratitude practice. Both gratitude and joy were described as spiritual practices that were bound to a belief in human interconnectedness and a power greater than us. And people were quick to point out the differences between human emotion that's connected to circumstances and a way of engaging the world that's connected to practicing gratitude. So the key there, I think, is practicing.
Practicing, right? Yeah. It's not an attitude of gratitude, but a choice to, like, quote, count your blessings.
Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living.
What?
That's a quote from a sermon, but it turned out the guy was like a drug dealer. But anyways.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's a good quote. I remember that part. I would not take any other recommendations from that guy.
Economics advice. Yeah. With that idea of gratitude, like attitude of gratitude, I feel like more recently I've seen a lot of people like having like gratitude journals and stuff like that. So maybe that's a little bit more common than it was, say, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Hmm.
But I guess we've had that song Count Your Blessings since 1897.
Oh, yeah? I guess you must have looked that
up. I did look that up.
It's not just like your favorite song? You know
no,
anything
it's
about
not.
It? Yeah. you know, that All I Want for Christmas Is You is like finally went platinum this past Christmas.
Only just?
Yeah. Yeah, after like 25 years.
And how much did you participate in that?
It brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she also says, when the wholehearted talk about gratitude, there are a whole lot of, there's a bunch of verbs that are involved. So she says, it seems like gratitude is like faith. Without works, it's not alive.
Hmm.
So it's like an action, she says. Like, that's why we could practice it, because of an action.
Yeah.
She also, like, in her research, they would all, like, her interviewees would say things like, being grateful and joyful doesn't mean I'm happy all the time. And so that was something that she, a pattern that she noticed, that it's like joy and happiness are not, like, exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And so then she would ask a deeper question, like, what does it look like to be joyful and grateful but not happy?
Hmm.
That, yeah, I feel like, do you have any ideas of what that feels like?
To be, joyful but not happy. I think maybe that feeling of like, it's not okay right now, but that's okay.
Mm.
It's maybe it's like, I'm unhappy. It's not like, it's unhappy situations where it's possible to be joyful.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, like I'm not happy right now. It's like, but I am okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? There's some, or there's a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's as simple as like, I don't know, you go camping and it just rains on everything, you know, and you're soaked and you're grumpy, but it's like you are having, or sometimes you are having fun. You're making memories as a family, right? And it's like you can kind of get in that mindset.
You can certainly get in that mindset.
Yeah.
I think I thought of the time when just after having Jack, it took me, I did experience like kind of postpartum depression, or at least just depression after the baby, maybe not actual postpartum, but it took me a long time to realize it, because I was actually like, there was a lot of joyful moments, and you know, because I really enjoy the baby stage. So even though I wasn't really sleeping and he was fussy, like I just, it's hard not to like enjoy a like chubby baby once he got chubby. He wasn't always chubby, but anyways,
yeah.
So what I started noticing, you know, some sadder feelings. And then when I actually paid attention to those sadder feelings, I realized, oh, I actually feel like this a lot, but it was obscured by like the joy I felt when he giggled and all this kind of stuff. So it was this weird mix of like joy and sadness. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, kind of strange.
Yeah. I just found this chapter really, I don't know, super relevant right now. Cause it's the title of the chapter is Cultivating Gratitude and Joy, Letting Go of Scarcity and Fear of the Dark. And I feel like practicing gratitude right now, like just in this moment of being on lockdown, it just feels very relevant. Because I'm finding myself, it's hard to be just, to have gratitude for anything just in itself. Right? So I'll kind of say have gratitude, but using kind of like at least statements. It's like, well, at least we're not as bad here as in Italy. Or at least we have a balcony that the kids can go and play on.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, or at least the kids went had a nap today.
Like, as in, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse, which isn't really gratitude. It's more comparison.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, it requires someone else to be unhappy for you know, to feel happy. So it's kind of twisted. Yeah, it's
weird.
So I was trying to think, like, what, like, that, I don't know, it just feels like my default right now. And so I was trying to, like, think of, like, what things am I, like, straight up just grateful for that don't have to have, like, a downside that someone else has it worse, you know?
So,
right? It's not just me having it better than someone else.
Yeah.
So the one I thought of was, I made cookies earlier this week from scratch, just from memory. And I made cookies before, but just being able to do that without having to look at the recipe, for some reason that just felt like, I don't know, felt in control of my situation. I made something I liked, something that brought comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt productive.
Yeah. That's nice.
Or, I guess Timmy at supper, he's discovered his belly.
Ugh.
And he was just smacking it.
Yeah,
and laughing.
I put him in his high chair in his diaper, because he made a mess of it, all his clothes. And so then he was just sitting there like slapping his belly, like clapping his belly, giggling. And what is not amazing about a fat baby like clapping his own belly and giggling?
Yeah.
That was pure bliss.
Yeah. I think too, like it's just this time right now.
So does that verse say in Philippians where Paul says, like, count it all joy, my brethren, I guess, in cistern, when you face trials of many kinds? And I think it feels a lot more, like, relevant right now that he said that, you know, like, knowing that he said that from prison. And he's writing to people that were, like, facing persecution. And I think, honestly, like, up to now, it's like there's just, like, no sense of, like, common suffering. Like, I mean, it's through, like, kind of, like, hard times on my own or as a family. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, now everybody is kind of going through, like, a challenging time.
It's a unique time in history in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's almost, it's essentially global. But, yeah, that we're all kind of facing a, at the very least, inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously more tragic things in different places. But there's a way to count it all joy. I don't know. I mean, Brady Brown has some ideas. The Bible says we should do it. I think it's something I have to learn more about, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, I was actually listening to a different podcast this morning.
Yeah.
It was At Home with Sally Clarkson. It's one of my favorites. She's just such a sweet, I don't want to call her an old lady, but she's kind of, she's not an old lady. She sounds like an old lady because she has a bit of a Southern accent or something. But anyways, she was talking about kind of cultivating joy again, related to being, you know, on lockdown essentially. And she pointed out that, that as we, she brought up neuroplasticity. So as we practice joy, it reinforces those neural pathways.
Yeah.
It just makes those neural pathways easier to, like, go. And I guess that's kind of why cynical people default to cynicism. It's partly not just, it's just like their just brain chemistry and their brain habit. And so the good news is that we can actually rewire our brains as we practice gratitude, those, like, neural pathways will become more, like, rutted and easily flow more easily. So that's a good thing. But yeah, let me read this quote here. It says, and this is, it really, like, sounds like right now in where we are in this point in history. It says, "These are anxious and fearful times, both of which breed scarcity. We're afraid to lose what we love the most, and we hate that there are no guarantees. We think not being grateful and not feeling joy will make it hurt less. We think that if we can beat vulnerability to the punch by imaging loss, we'll suffer less. We're wrong. There is one guarantee. If we're not practicing gratitude and allowing ourselves to know joy, we're missing out on the things that will actually sustain us during these inevitable hard times." I found that really interesting. Just that idea that, like, practicing gratitude and experiencing joys is, like, the antidote to these feelings of scarcity and not enough that we might be feeling right now in lockdown. Or, like, when you're literally at the grocery store and they do not have what you need or what you feel like you need. Because we have lived in pretty, I mean, personally, we have, not everybody, but most people in North America, you know, go to the grocery store and even maybe they can't afford it, but it's there. Like, you know, we have not had any issues with that.
Yeah.
Thankfully. But she gives some examples of scarcity, which is something that I've been learning and trying to observe in my life a little bit more, these ideas or this, like, tendency towards scarcity thinking. So she gave some examples. So one is, like, I'm not going to allow myself to feel joy because it's just going to go away anyways. Or another one is, acknowledging how grateful I am is just an invitation for disaster. Or, I'd rather not be joyful and then I'd have to wait for the other shoe to drop. Which, you know what I did then? I looked up where that phrase,
okay,
where did the other shoe to drop come from.
Who's dropping shoes?
Yeah?
Well, so what did you find?
So it comes from, apparently, according to this Inc.com article. So in the New York City tenements in the late 19th and 20th century, apartments were built with bedrooms on top of one another, and it was really normal to hear your upstairs neighbor take off a shoe, drop it, and then repeat the action. So then you were just, like, laying there in bed waiting for the guy to drop his other shoe because you knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah.
That seems a lot more disappointing as an explanation.
So, I always took it.
What?
So, as a kid, like, growing up, right?
So if I was safe, hypothetically, in my bedroom at bedtime, like after bedtime, yeah. fighting with my brother, right? And then you'd hear Dad yell from the bottom of the stairs, like, "Knock it off, boys!"
Yeah.
And you knew his foot was on the first step.
Oh, if the other foot and dropped.
You, if the next foot came down, then it was all done. I don't know. I assume, maybe that's what our kids think too. If they know that, you know, if they're being noisy at bedtime.
It's like, don't come.
And then it's like, once my foot hits the ground, then they know it's something's going to happen. But I never looked it up in a dictionary. Yeah. So I just, intuitively, that's what you thought.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
But those things, those examples that she gives are kind of, I guess, what I would call more like cynicism.
Okay.
Or like she calls it scarcity. So I'm not
going to allow myself to feel joy.
It's just going to go bad anyways. Like, you know, or it also is invokes Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's just going to go crappy if I enjoy this, which I can totally, like, I definitely had attitudes like this in the past where it's like actually practicing cynicism on purpose to keep my like hopes low.
Okay.
So that I wouldn't be disappointed.
Okay. I feel like for me, one thing that helped me be more joyful was first the step of being joyful for other people when good things happen to them.
Hmm.
Right. Cause I didn't feel guilty when good things happened to me. Cause I was happy if it happened to someone else too. Right. Like I learned how to like, if someone else had a success to be like, to be genuinely thankful and happy for them.
Instead of jealous?
Instead of jealous, yeah. And then when I had that something good happen, you know, I wasn't like, ooh, maybe people are jealous of me.
Oh,
because I wasn't projecting onto them anymore. And I could just be
genuinely good. Happy.
Yeah, genuinely joyful about, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But I, like, when
it's
I was...
Like, yeah, it's like the flip of comparison, right? Like, comparison and gratitude kind of makes you ungrateful. But when you're kind of aware of what's happening with other people... on the good side, mm-hmm. you can kind of get pulled up into their joy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I was thinking a little bit more about that idea of cynicism in myself and how it can relate to scarcity, but I think now, like, I sometimes, like, I don't want to let myself enjoy good because I don't want more loss, like, the loss to be more significant, like, if and when it goes away. So that... But I realized that maybe it's not a scarcity thing as much as it is control for me. Because I would rather be the person who's like, no, like, stop being happy. Like, it's just going to go away. And, like, be in control rather than it to be taken away when I least expect it.
Hmm.
And so I just decide to be, like, grumpy. We don't have coronavirus, I promise.
Not that we know of. You can't catch it from podcasts. That's
true.
That's what I heard.
On
the internet, though, so don't necessarily believe that.
And it's true that it feels like every symptom now is like, could be coronavirus.
Could be. Explosive diarrhea is coronavirus, right? Because I definitely have that. It's a good thing we got the toilet paper.
We always have a good amount of toilet paper.
Yeah.
So.
That good old self-defecating humor.
But scarcity in other ways, like, I think if I experience scarcity, it's because I'm, like, really stressed. Hmm. And she points that out. She says, like, not enough is a scarcity idea.
Huh.
Like, not being strong enough, fit enough, mom enough, wealthy enough, smart enough. Those are all, like, ideas of lacking and having scarcity. But she says... the antidote to scarcity, it's not searching for abundance, but self-sufficiency, which, like, I'm not sure, I don't know. Anytime I see something that sounds distinctly not Christian, I have a big eye roll.
Okay.
Or an internal eye roll. So I'm just like,
okay.
Like, self-sufficiency. But she explains it like this. She quotes someone else. Okay, I didn't write it down. Sufficiency isn't two steps from poverty or on a, one step below abundance. It isn't an amount at all. It's an experience or a context we generate, a declaration, a knowing that there is enough and we are enough.
Hmm. Oh, you don't like that.
I don't like it.
We are enough. I like the idea of self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. I'm just...
I guess I just struggle to believe that that's like really God's desire for us.
More than self-sufficiency, I would say.
Yeah. But I mean, are either of those like Christian desires?
I think it's more, it's maybe self-sufficiency isn't the perfect word for it, but not like abundance is a nice thing to have.
Yes.
But having all sorts of stuff saved up is no protection.
Yes.
To you, right? It's, do you have the resources right now to mm-hmm. deal with the situation right now? So it's like, it's more moment by moment. And I think that's the way faith works. It's not like,
that's true.
Oh yeah, well it's horrible now, but someday you go to heaven. That's kind of, what's that do for you? But if it's like, I'm tired now and Jesus is with me right now and I can be tired and godly at the same time.
Okay.
Right now, that feels more like sufficiency rather than trying to run after like abundance to solve your problems, right?
Yeah.
Right. We're saying, oh, I just need more time. It's like, well, if you have more time, you maybe waste more time, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But and is there I a think... way to do with what you are right now, with what you have right now, to be, you know, faithful, to be loving, mm-hmm. to be kind, you know?
And that's, I think what I've kind of been trying to understand is like, when she explains that, I think what she's saying is when she's like being enough is in contrast to scarcity. It's like, I am enough is more like I am who I am. It's fine. I'm okay. Like in that way, it's enough. It's, I don't know. Does that sound like, I guess more in like a self-acceptance kind of a way, like Jesus loves me as I am and I should too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it just, the whole discussion comes back to, I think I mentioned this earlier, but 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles. I'm worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." I think that ability to say that, I'm nothing special or I don't bring a whole lot to the table. Like he's like, I'm the least of the apostles. He's clear about that. Cause he was murdering the apostles. Right. Like,
yeah.
So it's like not a good start to your career, but he says, hey, like, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me is not in vain. So it's not God's love towards Paul was not wasted. And so we can say that too, that like God's love that he gives to us is not wasted on us and who we are right now. It's like, well, I am what I am,
yeah.
You know? And it's not like a recipe just to say, I am what I am, yeah. Get used to it. But it's like, we don't have to hide or pretend like we're something we're not.
Right.
Right. And who we are right now is enough, right? Like God's not wasting his grace on us.
Right.
He's giving more grace to keep on changing us, making us new. Just like he was from the moment he said, Paul, stop killing my people,
mm-hmm.
to when he made Paul into this apostle that served and was happy to lay down his life. Others.
Yeah, I think thinking about the shame that he must have experienced in having done that, like he's probably a good example of how to
get past shame. You had to meet people that he potentially had thrown in prison in the past,
or killed their sister or something like that. It'd be like, that was me. So at the end of the chapter, she talks about finding joy in the ordinary, which is so apt for right now, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's some huge shifts in what is ordinary. Like, we're, like, in our experience of this quarantine, a lot of things have been stripped down. Willie's working from home, what he can do from home, like, online.
Yeah.
And, like, we normally have our kids in daycare 3 days a week, which we do not have anymore. And the other activities are things that we would be doing outside the home are gone, just like everyone else, right? But that is stripping down all our options and making life very ordinary.
Yeah.
And so she talks about, I'll just quote you. I think I learned the most about value of ordinary from interviewing men and women who have experienced tremendous loss, such as loss of a child, violence, genocide, and trauma. The memories they held most sacred were ordinary, everyday moments. It was clear that their most precious memories were forged from a collection of ordinary moments, and their hope for others is that they would stop long enough to be grateful for the moments and the joy that they bring. And Yeah, and then she quotes somebody, Marianne Williamson, who says, joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. I feel like I had a moment like that today, where Teddy was standing and looking up at me and saying something, and I was like, he's so small. I was like, he's gonna grow up and be so big. And then he's like, Mom, I want to give you a hug. And I was just like, oh my goodness. But it was this wonderful moment, and my immediate second thought was, yeah, but if only he would go to the potty and all these kinds of things. And it's just like, shut up. Because it was this really nice moment, and automatically my brain tried to pick it apart. That's not the good side of things, but this quote made me think of the quote made me think of how all you, I don't know if you hear this, but moms hear this all the time. Cherish these moments while they're young. And you're like,
this is the best days.
These are your best years. And you're like, ah, but they're really awful. Sometimes they're really, really awful. Yeah.
Although, I mean, I will say, so picking up the boys from daycare on that week and a half ago Friday.
The last day, you mean?
The last day. You could see just this look of very severe seriousness on every parent's face. Yeah, we're like, okay, this is getting real. We're going to be locked in our house for an unspecified period of time. And it's just going to be, we have to get a different way of living life. It kind of felt like we were gladiators going into the arena. But, I mean, I don't know why we're also intimidated by it, but I think we've seen that...
It's out of our comfort zone.
It's out of our comfort zone, but we found it kind of a new normal, too, a bit.
Yeah.
There is good things that we get to see with the boys, having them around all the time.
I'm really enjoying
it. It's harder to get any work done, but it is... There's good things, too.
But the side benefit is there's less work to do in some ways. And everybody's in that situation.
Yeah.
I think everybody's still working through how weird they feel about what they can and cannot do, right? Because it is still chaos. There's some leeway for that, I think. So let's talk about digging deep just to close it up. She said, dig deep, get deliberate, get inspired, get going. So she says, when I'm flooded with fear and scarcity, I try to think of joy by acknowledging fear, then turning it into gratitude. So she says out loud, I'm feeling vulnerable. That's okay. I'm so grateful for blank. I think that's a very interesting practice.
Yeah.
And then she just tries to consider the joy that she's experiencing on a regular basis and then get going. She gives an example of a gratitude jar. I think people with little kids like us, I wanted to talk about with our kids, what are things that they're grateful for today?
Yeah. Did you say anything?
I don't know, but I'm sure Jack will say that he's grateful for talking to his friend Emma from daycare.
Yeah.
That kid is smitten. Yeah. And so, I think for me, the takeaway that I will remember is practicing joy in the neuroplasticity effort, because that is a track for hope in my head. This can change. I can imagine how it can change, because I can picture my neurons firing like a nerd.
Yeah.
Anyways, any final thoughts?
No, I think that's all for today.
Let's practice joy.
And gratitude.
Yeah. Even though the sound quality on this is bad.
Possibly.
Anyways. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Talk to you later.